The text for our consideration this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 24th chapter, where our Lord is discussing the signs of the end of the age. "Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he's in the desert,' do not go out. Or, 'Look, he's in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is gathered, there the eagles will be gathered together." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A number of years ago, I was talking to an acquaintance of mine who had was a pastor of a congregation, not a Lutheran congregation, in Chicago, a rather large church. And they had a younger pastor that served under him who was brand new out of seminary. And this young man told this older pastor, who was relaying the story to me, this younger pastor said to him that he had always dreamed of going to Alaska, had always wanted to go to Alaska and do some hiking and climbing in the mountains and so on. Well, one day the young pastor came in to the office of the older pastor and announced to him, "Jesus came and talked to me last night, and he told me to go start a church in Alaska." It's interesting that he didn't tell him to go start a church in North Dakota. When I was in high school, I would think of the men that I knew who I knew to be very wonderful, pious, devout Christian pastors and theologians. And I would often think to myself, why is it that when Jesus comes and talks to people today, he never talks to Professor Rudy Hunzi? Why does he never go and talk to Pastor Tony Twite? Why does he always seem to talk to people that already belong to denominations that think that way? The text in front of us, our Lord Jesus warns us about false Christs and things that would seem to be appearances of him and new revelations from him that can possibly deceive the church. Now, why in the world would anybody want to imitate Jesus, or why in the world would anybody want to let themselves be fooled into thinking that they have talked to him? Well, here's the reason why. The devil knows how important Christ is to you, to us, to the members of the church. He knows how important our relationship to our Savior is and how much we love him. And he's come up with an idea that not only can he try to challenge us in our faith from the outside of the church, but if he can do it from the inside, in fact, if he can do it from the pulpit, then he really has the upper hand. And if he can convince people that somehow Jesus has given us something new that we need to listen to, he might very easily be able to pull the sheep away from the good shepherd. Notice how important it is for us in the church to recognize this potential danger. Jesus says, what a warning, to deceive even the elect if that were possible. So this is something our Savior wants us to be very cautious about. A number of years ago, I remember reading that just in the city of New York, in the city limits of New York City, there were 90 individuals claiming to be the new Messiah who had come. It's maybe 95 today, I don't know. St. Paul says this regarding the Antichrist that's going to come inside of the church. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception." So there are going to be signs, and there are going to be wonders, and there are going to be things that can really dazzle people and get their attention. Is this something new from God that can potentially pull people away from Christ? Your Lord Jesus Christ has fallen in love with you. He has looked at you and me and our condition in this world. He sees how abandoned we are. He sees how desperate we are. He sees how sinful we are, how hopeless our condition would ever be because of a grave waiting for us. He sees what's going to happen to your body someday and decay. He sees the potential of hell out there in the future. And you and I have been a mercy date. You and I have been a sympathy date from Christ. He has loved you and me with a love that we'll never know in this world. So strong and deep that it chose him to come into our world to save us, to save you. He has fallen in love with you and he's taken you to the altar to be married to him by faith. He's taken you to the waters of baptism where you were united with him in faith, where that ring was placed on your finger that says you now belong to Christ. And now everything that belongs to the groom belongs to the bride. That means his holiness, his perfection before God, his status before God, the joys of heaven, the riches of heaven, all of that now belongs to you. And he has decided to go on ahead now to get the bridal suite ready and to get it all prepared. And he promises to come back and take you so you can come and enjoy that beautiful suite in heaven. But in the meantime, he wants you to be cautious, because there are those in this world who are going to try to dress up like him. They're going to try to put on makeup to look like him. They're going to try to learn how to imitate his voice so closely that you and I could possibly get fooled and deceived. Is it possible for Jesus to come back and talk to us right now, to come right here into the sanctuary and talk to us? Well, of course it is. He's the Son of God. He can do anything he wants. Has he promised us that he's going to do that and commanded us to look for that? That's a different subject. No. In fact, he has warned us, as we see in our text, about those who claim that they have seen new visions of him and had new revelations from him, somehow adding to what he's already told us and taught us. The word of God is sufficient. It is enough. God has already told us in the Holy Scriptures what we need to know for our salvation. There's no need for more revelation. There's no need for some new future discussion from God. There's no need for some supplemental thing to add to this, as if this somehow wasn't enough. Dr. Robert Preuss, Lutheran theologian, once said it this way, very simply: to add to the Word of God is to oppose the Word of God. To add to the Word of God is to oppose to the Word of God. And if you think about it, any claim of a new revelation from God, in essence, is saying what we have here just doesn't quite cut it. It just isn't quite enough. God hasn't quite given me everything I need to know in Scripture. I need something else. And so it's natural for the bride of Christ to want to hear the voice of the groom. It's natural for us to want to hear that loving voice that has saved us and prepared this beautiful home for us in heaven. It's natural for us to want to talk to him again. But we need to be careful not to let that longing and yearning in our hearts fool us and start listening to a deceiver. And so, where should we go to listen to his voice? Where has the groom himself told us that he will continue to talk to us? He says, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." He sends us to the altar, and he says, when we put that bread and wine into our mouth, "This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the remission of sins." He says to you and me, if you want a hug from me, if you want to know how much I continue to love you and how I still am thinking of you and have that home waiting for you in the bridal suite of heaven, go to my word, go to my sacrament. This is where I want you to find me. But it's not really very exciting. It's not. These aren't very glamorous. These don't attract the eye and get our attention. It's natural for people to think we'd like something more exciting than that. But we need to listen to the voice of the groom himself. Faith looks and listens to Christ where he tells us to find him alone. And there is everything we need to know. Everything we need to know about who we are, how we got here, what our purposes in life, what God considers to be the path he wants us to take in life, what God thinks of us through Christ, how he loves us, how he forgives us, and the great plans that he has for us in our future, everything that we need to know is right here. And so the groom says to you and me today, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, and let no one take your crown." Jesus, in mercy, bring us to that dear land of rest. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we most heartily thank you that you have caused us to come to the knowledge of your word. We pray graciously keep us steadfast in this knowledge until death, that we may obtain eternal life. Send us now and ever pious pastors who faithfully preach your word without offense or false doctrine, and grant them long life. Defend us from false teachings and frustrate the counsels of those who pervert your word, who come to us in sheep's clothing but inwardly are ravenous wolves, that your true church may evermore be established among us and be defended and preserved from such false teachers. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.